wake up, wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
This week, Sammy, we are back in our parents' home, staying with my mom. And let me tell you, some things here are same as ever.
That's right, Michelle. If you're talking about coconut shells everywhere, being used in odd ways to hold things as a cover for steaming water, if you're talking about composting in the plants, yes, some things are the same as ever.
Oh, yeah. Coming home and having her feed me immediately, while also talking about the food that she's going to buy me, while also starting to cook another meal. I had to tell her, I literally cannot eat all of this in 1 week. You need to stop making food. Same as ever. Difficult for her to understand that.
Same as ever, I am uncomfortably full. I can barely oxygenate.
Same as ever, lots of love.
But I will say my attitude has changed.
Tell me.
I saw that the orchid plant that she is growing exponentially quick. And I think it is related to her putting some compost into the soil.
Oh, yeah.
I also think a few fruit flies have appeared because of this composting. But I have changed. So instead of a reality where I get angry at these fruit flies and start spraying the plant and the flies, I thought to myself, how wonderful that this is clearly healthy enough that other animals, organic materials, want to eat this. And see it as something that is nutritious and delicious, especially in this world that we live in where so much is literally toxic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I compare Charleston to when we were living in the desert, I feel like that all the time, too. Abundance. Something can grow here. And I just killed my own orchid. So I have a lot of appreciation for the fact that many of these plants, which your patients gave you when you were working in the bay, which was like 3 or so years ago now, are thriving. Our parents, let me tell you, same as ever, in any lifetime, they will be able to grow a plant.
And that's a skill. Now that I am growing plants, they are not easy to keep alive.
No, it's very difficult.
Honestly, I think if you're a sterile person, it makes it harder. Because you're like, I don't want any dust. I don't want any trash. I don't want anything near it. And then it's like, okay, well, plants don't live in like essentially bleached environments.
The point of all this, Sam, is that we have been reading Morgan Housel's Same As Ever. And we had a couple of our own takeaways, a couple of things we wanted to highlight from the book, because it really sparked a couple ideas to us about what is it in multiple lifetimes that stays the same? What can we do personally to start thinking about ways to create a better future for ourselves, recognizing these cycles? Because what happens is that we can get in habits, good habits, bad habits, money habits, and not even realize how those compound over time. And so we wanted to use his book as a springboard for our topic today to talk a little bit about how we can think about if we are living our lives over this life or over many lifetimes in a cycle, what are things we can do to break the bad habits and build the good ones?
Let's get into it.
But first, I wanted to share, Sammy, just a quick thank you to everyone who supported my course, Turn Your Layoff to a Sabbatical. It just ended, so I did want to give a quick update. It went really, really well. We had 11 people join, people cried, people said they had a mindset shift, swapping sourdough starters, like things that I couldn't even imagine. Like part of that too was just because the group of people that joined were so enthusiastic. They loved learning. They loved applying the information. They loved connecting with each other. And they were just really open to the experience and gave us really good feedback about what they needed. And it really created just a wonderful environment. So thank you all for sharing the course. So many of you reached out. So many of you asked me about it, which I really appreciate.
Back to today's topic. Michelle and I read Morgan Housel's book, Same As Ever. We were huge fans of his first book, The Psychology of Money. And in his most recent book, he talks about how some patterns, some things repeat themselves over and over again. And he brings out all these different societal things that happen over and over again.
I love this quote when he was quoting Jeff Bezos. Bezos said, I very frequently get the question, what's going to change in the next 10 years? And that is a very interesting question. It's a very common one. I almost never get the question, what's not going to change in the next 10 years? And I love that as a thought experiment. Sure, Jeff Bezos is thinking about Amazon, so he's saying lower prices, faster shipping. But I think we can apply that mindset to our own lives as well. And Morgan Housel even highlights some really great examples.
He does. That quote hit me like a ton of bricks. And he brings up Naval Ravikant, who says, in 1,000 parallel universes, you want to be wealthy in 999 of them. You don't want to be wealthy in the 50 of them where you got lucky. When I heard that, I really thought about it from the individual perspective, not just financial. Like, I see the financial for sure too. Now I know how to save a good portion of my income and invest it. If there were 1,000 me's in 1,000 parallel universes, those skills would lead to financial success, not randomly winning the lottery or hoping that I start a random business that's going to be successful. But the skills of saving and investing, yes, that would be something that would be good over multiple lifetimes.
And whether or not you're woo-woo like Sam and Naval, or you're thinking of your lifetimes as this decade versus next decade, I love the financial example because, yeah, you can win the lottery today, but if you haven't been saving and investing before you win the lottery, what are the chances that you're going to do it when you finally get that windfall? And I think that's a really great reminder that we have to learn the good habits before those things happen so that we can learn them, internalize them, and apply them in different cycles of our lifetime.
Exactly, Michelle. And Morgan Housel didn't say this in his book, but I took this idea, same as ever, things that are going to be the same in future scenarios. And I thought about myself as an individual. What character traits, what aspects of me would show up in the 1,000 parallel universes that would cause me problems? And can I change these things about myself?
Ooh, such a good thought experiment.
I realized that one of the things that I'm working on is having multiple masters. I got this terminology from a tarot card that I pulled at our Tuesday Tarot here in Charleston.
Tarot Sound Bath.
Our Tuesday Tarot Sound Bath here in Charleston. Multiple times at the Tarot Sound Bath, I have pulled the dog card that says, you have too many masters.
Golden Retriever, how about dogs?
What this card is saying is that I follow too many other people. So how I understood this too many masters card is that I kind of always over-prioritize everybody else. It sounds more virtuous than it is. Like, let's say I'm working with somebody, I'm going to think of everything I do from the lens of my coworker. That could include everything from like small judgments about me or even just like trying to make things more convenient for them or not get in their way.
Bringing them food.
But even things like, oh, how would they feel about my lifestyle? And this applies to usually whoever is close to me. So it changes. It could be my roommate. It could be Michelle. It could be my family members. And I'm trying to switch to a perspective where I only think about myself from my lens.
Sam is her only master now.
I'm trying to be my own master. And this has been really huge for me since being on my sabbatical. I realized that one of the things that I did do for myself without thinking about other people is pursue financial independence. And because of that, I can take a break from work. This has inspired me to do more things based on what I want to do because that worked out really well. And what I don't want is to be born into 1,000 lifetimes always having the same issue of listening to whatever master is around me.
Sam, I think Morgan Housel would appreciate your existential look at this concept, which is really that for you, it's just having multiple masters. But I think what anyone who's listening can take away is that we all know what our main personality struggle is in this lifetime. People pleasing is a big one for people. Being too aggressive. I cannot speak for everybody, but I think deep down we can kind of see at least what patterns we're repeating. There's a little infinity sign on the cover of this book, and I really see how some of the things he highlights is about going through one cycle to the other, back to the first one, back to the second one. This book really inspired me to start thinking about breaking my cycles. You mentioned yours. When you're in a different room, you got a different master. For me, one thing that he talked about that really related to me was his chapter on calm plants the seeds of crazy. I'll give you his example, and then I'll give you the one that popped up in my own life. He gives an example of how it's going to be impossible to eradicate a recession, or it's going to be impossible to get rid of bad financial times. And the reason for that is because when the economy is doing well and people feel stable, they start to take on more debt. More debt is going to make the economy less stable. A less stable economy means that things are going to go awry, and then we're in this cycle of good, bad, good, bad. When we are feeling good and calm, we often then invite chaos into our life.
I completely see that, Michelle. It reminds me of that Michael Hoff quote, "Hard times create strong men create good times create weak men create hard times." It almost feels unavoidable.
Yes, Tony Robbins, our good friend.
Not our guru.
Not our guru. Our parasocial friend, Tony Robbins, loves that quote. And I think it's such a good one. It's true. And it's not even a judgment on the calm or the chaos. And I think that was what was really helpful for me to realize. So when I look at my own life, I can see this pattern as well. A great example is when I was at my first sales job. At about 3 years in, I had figured it out. I was making comfortable money. I liked my coworkers. I wasn't moving up in my career, but things were really calm. Like, I felt very stable. And that's also when I started to get antsy. At my fifth year, I left. And part of the reason was I just felt comfortable. I didn't feel as motivated to do things. I didn't feel as excited. I knew the answer to every question. I think my clients would get frustrated because they would have a complaint. And I could quickly be like, yeah, but have you thought about the fact that you're paying overtime? Like, there's a certain point where you just, like, you've heard it all. And so what did I do? I kind of blew up my life a little bit. I got a new job. I left San Francisco. This timed well with COVID on top of everything. And I went through a really difficult time at my work. It was really challenging. My bosses, my clients challenged me. I had to learn new things. And I ended up losing my job. But I actually felt really, I felt like I grew the most probably during that year than I have in my entire adult life. So I really see how, like, the calm led to the chaos, but that also led to a lot of stress and anxiety.
And then that stress and anxiety led to strength.
Oof, so true, so true. It's interesting because I hear some entrepreneurs like Sam Parr of My First Million, and they talk about how, like, they like to have a season of, like, hard work and then a season of rest. Like, they actually plan it, like, push for a few months and then break for a few months. And I think I want to move towards that. I realize that I am ambitious and I enjoy working towards a goal, but then you burn out, and sometimes the burnout doesn't grow you. It makes you want to, like, collapse, and you're tired and you're like, do I really enjoy this? But if you think that about the calm leads to chaos, leads to calm cycle, then it's a lot easier to be optimistic about the long-term future and start to think to yourself, okay, I'm going to push for a little bit and then I need to take care of myself. Otherwise, I might blow everything up. It's almost the difference between a wildfire that's like a controlled burn versus a wildfire that you didn't take care of it and now the whole state's burning down.
I love it. I love it. You are kind of personally taking this whole calm and crazy thing by the reins.
Yes.
And I can see that. I can see that. After taking a sabbatical, before I was working and things were calm as far as finances go, but I was burning out. And so I kind of flipped a switch and then went into the sabbatical mode. But at the same time, if I go for a sabbatical mode for a decade, that's not going to be very financially responsible. At the same time, the sabbatical is helping me become physically stronger, get more energy. It's helping me be more healthy. So I think there is a balance, because I think there's a lot of people who maybe will work until they get sick and then they're forced to take time off, or they get into a really bad place where they feel very upset with work. And then they take time off. But we can kind of control it a little bit and be like, hey, I'm going to work for a little bit, rest for a little bit, work for a little bit, rest for a little bit. And instead of letting ourselves just explode when we overdo one side of it, we can actually control, knowing that we kind of need this balance.
Yes, exactly. Because These are things that are the same as ever, as Morgan Housel says. It's true at a macroeconomic level, and it's also true personally. So we can at least keep in mind, like, hey, good times lead to bad times, lead to stability, lead to instability. And sometimes just knowing that, it's almost like the this too shall pass, but also being like, what can I control in this circumstance to make sure that I don't burn myself out? And then I do that over and over again sometimes. And then surprise, surprise, you know, I'm not happy and I'm not making any changes. So I really like that Morgan Housel had a chapter dedicated to that. He kind of touches on this in different parts of his book as well, but it was something that really resonated with me.
Takeaways.
Takeaways.
Aha, uh-huh, same as ever. Takeaways for this episode.
First takeaway. What would show up if you were duplicated and had 1,000 parallel realities? What would be the same in those realities?
Yes.
Assume the things you can't control maybe are different. Maybe you live in a different country. Maybe you're a different race. Maybe it's a different time period. Maybe you're born rich. Maybe you're born poor. But what about you is the same in all of those scenarios? What same problems can you imagine having in each of those different scenarios based off of the type of person you are today?
And how can you make changes so that in 999 of those 1,000 scenarios, you are successful? Whether that's rich, as Naval Ravikant says, or whatever type of success is meaningful to you. A lot of us want to be happy. We want to have good relationships with people. We want to feel satisfied with what we do in this lifetime. And a lot of times there are blockers that we have that are repeating themselves in our different relationships, in our different environments. And if we can take the time to recognize those, we can finally stop the pattern and set ourselves up to make better decisions in the future.
You know what, Michelle? For my pattern of the too many masters, I've been doing a few things. One, I've been meditating and just noticing what are the thoughts that are in my brain. Who are they referring to? Who are they targeted towards? And to encourage myself to think of myself as my master, I actually started doing this thing, which I know is going to sound a little crazy.
We're already talking about multiple lifetimes, Sammy. We have left the realm of reality.
I've started talking to myself as if I were a guest. So that way, in my mind, if it's somebody else, I am more likely to think of them as a master. Instead of going to the grocery store and being like, I have to go to the grocery store today. I have to make sure I go to the gym. I say something like, oh, I'm going to take you to the grocery store because I know you like to eat healthy foods. So I know you want to pick some things up. Or I'm going to take you to the gym because I know you like to take care of your body. Talking to myself in this way, one, frames it in way more of a positive light than a hostile to-do list. Mm-hmm. And two, makes it so that I'm always thinking about taking care of myself first.
I love that, Sammy, because a lot of times we do treat our guests, we do think about them, and we put all of this effort to create a positive experience for them. And why can't it be the same for us too? Especially when a lot of times we are trying to do things that are good for us. I think another thing as applied to what are some of these things that are same as ever, for me, I really like the concept of the calm and chaos cycle, which I don't think is so separate from this idea of multiple lifetimes. And in my lifetime, I am recognizing that I have a tendency to push myself, and then either I will just bomb the situation and leave, or I'll completely burn out. And so a shift I've been making, actually, working with my therapist, by the way, if you're wondering great ways to identify these, therapy is a good one. But the thing that I'm working on now is recognizing, first off, my schedule. Like, April is a busy month for me. I feel like I'm working 3 jobs. They're all opportunities that I like, which I'm excited about. And then I know that I'm going to build some time for myself in the middle of May and June where I'm not going to take meetings. I'm not going to put a lot of stuff on my plate because I will need a break. I don't think I would have been as cognizant of that even as early as last year.
Community time.
Before we say goodbye, it's our community time.
We got a lot of shout outs because you guys have been saying some lovely things and responding to some of the questions we've been putting out there. My friend Abby sent me an oatmeal recipe, which is amazing. We were talking about how boring our oatmeal lives have been. And Abby is the second person who sent us an actual recipe, which I love.
Our regular listeners, Paul and Harris, said that they saw FI numbers at a real estate conference that they went to called Vive Funds. They sent us a screenshot and said, this looks familiar. In the screenshot, it showed writing down how much you want to make before you retire, using the 4% rule, a lot about what we talk about on this podcast and in our most recent episode on the FI numbers.
Harris also is part of our podcast group, and when I saw her, she said she's been using Descript, the AI editing tool. She said it's amazing. I think we have to consider making the switch.
Oh, Michelle didn't tell me about this one, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and they also loved our, let's call it a bit, where we were fighting about the water bottles. Sammy left her water bottles at the gym, and I was enjoying my water bottle that I did not lose. But Sammy has been very good about her water bottles.
Thank you.
Mostly because she hasn't been home.
Janice CK also made a thread about her takeaways from our interview with Paul Millard.
Yes.
We'll post a link to that on our Build a Wealthy Spirit page.
Also, we wanted to highlight congratulations to Areeb, the first person we interviewed on our podcast 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's still working on the same company, and they recently partnered with a little old company called Amazon.
Amazon! Congrats, Areeb. This is awesome because I really liked Areeb's whole idea and the fact that he started this company. If you guys go back to the episode, Areeb used to work at Facebook. He left. He used his talents to help innovate the recycling industry, and it's actually helping. And now he is partnering with Amazon. So that is so exciting. I have to say, entrepreneurs that have been on this podcast are doing well. I'm not saying it's related. I'm not saying it's related, but
I feel like it's related. I think I'm just going to say that. We would love to hear from you. Buildawealthyspirit.com. Have you read Morgan Housel's Same As Ever? We would love to know your thoughts on it because we are big fans of Morgan Housel and enjoy his stories, but we went a little woo-woo with some of the things that he was talking about because we really felt inspired by this mental model of what am I doing that if I live 1,000 lifetimes, what are the things that are going to hurt me and what are the things that are going to help me? And he highlights some really great examples. And if you have an example, a personal one, of something that you're doing and you're like, shoot, this is a bad pattern in my life that is going to hurt me in every lifetime, or this is a good thing in my life that's going to help me, let us know. Buildawealthyspirit.com. We would love to hear from you.
And most importantly, be sure to join us next time as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.